Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 15. In this chapter, Absalom revolts and usurps the throne, and David flees from Jerusalem to the Jordan Valley. Let's begin by reading the first 18 verses of this chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. After this had happened, that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me. Then I would give him justice." And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron.' And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. Now a messenger came to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom.' So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.' And the king's servants said to the king, 'We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands.' Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, all the Kerethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king." Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 15, with some background notes. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, we saw that David permitted Absalom to return from exile to Jerusalem. Now here in chapter 15, we see that Absalom took full advantage of his restored position and began to lay the groundwork for taking over the throne. First of all, Absalom drew attention to himself by a display of kingly appearance. He provided for himself a chariot and horses, probably more impressive than the chariot and horses that David had, and also 50 men as runners to go before him. And then Absalom set himself up in a strategic spot in the city, namely in the gate area, where official complaints and grievances would be registered. Then Absalom would subtly tell all who had a complaint or a grievance that their claims were right and just, and if only he were in charge, justice would be done. Well, it's always easy to find fault with the administration that's in power and get a following, and that's exactly what Absalom did. And now the stage was set for Absalom to declare himself as king, and he chose Hebron as his key city. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 15. Doctrinal point number one: the hearts of the unfaithful are stolen by looks and talk. The hearts of the unfaithful are stolen by looks and talk. Verse 6 once again: so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. How did Absalom do it? By looks and talk. He was naturally good-looking, and he created a great image of himself with his impressive-looking entourage. And then he talked a good line. He told everyone that if he were judge, their problems would be solved. Sounds like a modern politician, doesn't he? Notice that Absalom studiously avoided saying, "If I were king," but he left the people to their own obvious conclusions. In verses 7 and 8, we see that Absalom lied to David about a vow he had supposedly made to serve the Lord. This was all part of his evil plan of getting to Hebron to carry out his agenda of declaring himself king in Hebron. Even the 200 men who went with Absalom to Hebron were not aware of how they were being manipulated by Absalom. It was all arranged by Absalom and the spies that he had sent throughout all the tribes of Israel. Upon the given signal of a trumpet blast, all Israel was to hear that Absalom was the new king. Verse 10. Even Ahithophel, David's chief counselor, was caught up in the conspiracy. Verse 12. So David decided to leave Jerusalem rather than stay and fight and put the city through a bloodbath. Verse 14. We know from 2 Samuel chapter 12 that all of this heartache for David was part of the judgment upon him because of his sins of adultery and murder. But how was Absalom able to pull off this takeover? By looks and talk. The hearts of the unfaithful are stolen by looks and talk, then and today. Be careful of a good-looking, sweet-talking public figure. This is true not only in the secular world, but in the church as well. Paul told the Galatians that even if an angel from heaven preached a gospel contrary to the word of God, they were not to listen and they were not to be taken in. Talk about deceptive looks and talk. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. The hearts of the unfaithful are stolen by looks and talk. Doctrinal point number two. The hearts of the faithful are committed through thick and thin. The hearts of the faithful are committed through thick and thin. Verses 19 through 23. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I go I know not where? Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." So David said to Ittai, "Go and cross over." Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. We see in verse 18 that David had a number of foreigners that had come into his kingdom, and they joined David as he left Jerusalem to go down into the Jordan Valley by way of the wilderness. Included in this group of foreigners were 600 men from Gath. That is, they were Philistines from the same town that Goliath had come from. These Gittites had maybe joined David when he was in Philistine territory fleeing from King Saul. In any case, David asked Ittai, their leader, why he wanted to stay with him at a time like this. "Why not return home, Ittai? You're not obligated to stay and flee with me. You can even stay on with the new king." What a wonderful response of loyalty we read from faithful Ittai in verse 21. But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." The hearts of the faithful are committed through thick and thin. Ittai is a type or spiritual picture of the committed believer today, who is loyal and faithful to the Lord, the greater Son of David, especially now, during our Lord's time of rejection. Are we willing to suffer with the Lord outside the camp during his time of rejection? Hebrews 13, 13. Are we willing to say like Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? Philippians 1, 21. The hearts of the faithful are committed through thick and thin. Now, what about practical application from 2 Samuel chapter 15? You can serve the Lord in many different ways. You can serve the Lord in many different ways. Verses 24 through 37. There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, "Carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, 'I have no delight in you,' here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him." The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and wept as he went up, and he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant,' then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. We find in these verses a lot of different people and the different ways they served David. Certainly a spiritual picture here of the many different ways we can serve the Lord, the greater David. Many traveled with David down into the Jordan Valley, including Ittai and his fighting men. David sent Zadok and Abiathar the priest back to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. Their two sons, Ahimaaz and Jonathan, were to serve David by being messenger boys. And Hushai was to serve David by staying in Jerusalem and trying to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, who had betrayed David. You know, we need more Hushais today who will thwart the Ahithophels who have betrayed the Lord by no longer believing in the high moral standards of the Bible, and no longer believing in creation, and no longer believing in the inerrancy of Scripture. Maybe you feel that all you can do to serve the Lord is be a messenger boy, like Ahimaaz and Jonathan. That's okay. Be encouraged. The Lord will bless you and honor you. You can serve the Lord in many different ways.